Welcome to another episode of the Inside Arkansas Politics Podcast. This episode was recorded in KNWA and Fox 24 studios in the Dixon. I'm Kurt Lanning, a digital journalist for KNWA and Fox 24. On today's episode, I'm joined by Dr. Jeremy Horpadal, an economics professor at the University of Central Arkansas in Conway. We'll be discussing the legislators' efforts going on in Little Rock right now to shape the state's budget and the overall state of Arkansas's economy. Professor, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Kurt.
Now, you're an economics professor for UCA. What is your current read of our state's economy?
I think the Arkansas economy has been performing well, pretty similar to national growth rate, national wage growth in recent years. So I think it's good. I think one thing to think about is that we've been in now an economic period of economic growth for over 8 years, which is unusually long. So I think regardless of what happens with policy, I think in the next year or two, we have to be thinking about the possibility of a recession and how that might affect both the economy and policy related to that.
Now, you mentioned national economy. How closely tied is our state's economy with the national economy? I mean, people here use things like the stock market as an indicator when talking about economic strength, but if we're busting records or seeing drops due to corrections, does that mean anything here for the everyday ordinary Arkansan?
Well, I think, other than people's retirement portfolios, watching the stock market doesn't necessarily give you a good idea of how our economy is doing. We are pretty closely tied to the national economy. We have, a larger agricultural sector than national economy, but other than that, we're pretty closely tied and similar. I tend to follow the, quarterly GDP reports and the monthly unemployment reports more than the stock market to tell what's going on.
Now, as you're aware, Governor Asa Hutchinson has signed two tax cuts into law, one for middle-class Arkansans and one for lower-class Arkansans. And of course, this just leaves the upper brackets for reform. Why form a tax reform task force like he did this last legislative session now instead of before the other two tax cuts? What's different about reforming these upper tax brackets that he would need or want recommendations from legislators and other tax professionals before going in and making a move on them?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it certainly could have been done before, but I think right now, part of the thinking of why you'd want a task force and what the task force has been doing is to really study the Arkansas tax system in a comprehensive way rather than just focusing on, how much or should there be a cut for the upper bracket. So, and this has also come out, the task force has said, since the governor made his recent announcement, they said, we're still going to keep doing our work of looking at the entire tax system, looking at more fundamental changes, or at least the possibility of that, rather than just the upper tax bracket. So my understanding of, this was in some sense, there was some appetite in the legislature for doing more comprehensive reform last session, and this was kind of the deal that was brokered to study it for a few years.
You know, for those of you listeners who aren't familiar, the Arkansas Tax Reform and Relief Task Force is a group of bipartisan legislators from the House and the Senate who are meeting regularly down in Little Rock to look at our tax code and see what to reform next. They're looking at everything from what businesses and people write off to what other states have done for their economy and tax code and just studying everything they can. And later this year, they have a report due out on what officially they're going to recommend to change to our tax code to make it more efficient. Now, the task force had hired a firm last year to help with research, but then, of course, they ended up firing them at the end of last year, I think in November. Professor, do you think that sets them back in any way since their recommendation for future tax cuts is due this fall?
I don't think it sets them back in any way. I think what they had got so far from the consultant they hired was just kind of an overview of Arkansas's tax system and how it compares to other states. So I think, they got all that information, but I think what will be different now is the recommendations now are going to come from members of the task force as well as members of the public or of organizations that speak to the task force rather than the recommendations coming from the consultant. So I think that as far as the timing, I don't think it's going to set them back. They do have a lot of work to do. They have a report due in September, and there's a lot. They haven't even started talking about recommendations at the meetings yet, really. So they got a lot to do over the next couple months here. But I know that they've got a schedule set up where they think they can do it.
They've got a pretty busy agenda ahead of them.
Yeah, they do. Yep, the next four meetings are all going to be very busy.
One of the things the task force looked at was a system of triggers for further tax cuts, similar to what North Carolina did with their state legislature a couple years ago. Hypothetically, the legislature cuts taxes, revenue increases. Once it reaches a certain level, that increased revenue triggers another round of tax cuts, and so on and so forth. So you have sort of an even level of things as tax levels get lower without harming any of the state services that need revenue to provide for those services. Now, North Carolina has more than double our population. Do you think this tax strategy will work for our primarily agricultural-based economy here in Arkansas?
Yeah, I think it can be part of a overall tax strategy, especially if you don't want to have any, you know, significant cuts to spending immediately. This is a way to kind of phase in the tax cuts. North Carolina is different from us in a number of ways, but there actually have been about 10 or so states in recent years that have used these triggers. The only states that have really gotten in trouble with them are states like Oklahoma. That's because they have a lot of natural resource and oil revenue, and that fluctuates a lot more. Right, so for them, the revenue came in one year, then they cut taxes, and then when oil prices fell, then they realized they had cut taxes too much, too quickly. But with Arkansas, I mean, we do have more agricultural, as we both mentioned, but that's not nearly as much. There's not nearly as much fluctuation as there is for oil, and Oklahoma has a specific oil severance tax. So I think it is a good strategy to use, especially if we think that, you know, there's a target that we want to get the personal income tax or the corporate income tax down to, but we don't feel like there's enough exemptions to close right now, or there's not enough spending cuts we can do. I think it's a prudent way to do this as revenue becomes available.
So you talk about Oklahoma having some issues with fluctuations and things like their oil and gas prices going up and down, and that affecting their tax income. You don't see those same issues with rice or soybean crops or other things that we're growing here and rely on heavily for our agriculture-based economy?
It's possible it could matter, but there's no special agricultural tax, and ag's only about 2.5% of Arkansas's GDP, whereas oil is a much bigger part of Oklahoma's economy, and they have a special tax on it. So, I mean, you certainly would want to think about that, right? You would want to, you know, look at how is Arkansas different from the other states that have done this. You know, and again, North Carolina and Oklahoma are just two examples. It worked really well in North Carolina, didn't work as well in Oklahoma. So I think, you know, and the task force has talked about other states that have done it too. So I think it's, you know, you have to consider how volatile your tax revenue is. But Arkansas overall is much more stable than, say, Oklahoma.
Now, we keep talking about this task force made up of different legislators, and one of them is Representative Jim Dotson, a Republican legislator from Bentonville. I've spoken with him multiple times on this issue, on this in the past, but what can we learn from Kansas's failed economic experiments over the last few years?
I think the main thing to learn from Kansas is that tax cuts don't pay for themselves. You need to, in some way, some combination of you know, getting rid of exemptions, of cutting spending, or of, you know, using these triggers we just talked about. Kansas didn't do any of that. They just simply cut rates. In fact, for certain types of businesses, they just exempted them from the income tax, and they hoped that the economic growth would be enough to pay for those. And there's no way that the growth is ever going to pay a loan for the tax cuts. So you can't hope for that. You need to do the right things in advance. Like, if spending cuts are part of what you want to do, you need to plan for that. Kansas had to do the spending cuts after the fact, which they had not planned for because they kind of hoped that. So I think that would be the main lesson. Another thing is, in Kansas, there actually was, along with their income tax cut, there was a bill to close a lot of exemptions and things like that. That bill didn't pass. So they had a bill to cut the rates. That passed. They had a bill to raise some revenue. That didn't pass. And so I think another lesson is you do need to, you know, both in terms of the legal process of the bill and just the way you think about this, you need to think of it as one whole package. And that's one thing they did not do in Kansas.
Why don't we shift gears and talk about the legislature itself for a moment? They're meeting right now as we speak to work on the state's budget currently in the fiscal session. Governor Hutchinson has proposed a $5.6 billion budget. Do you think that makes it through mostly unscathed, or should we expect any particular fights over pieces of the budget?
You know, I think that it should make it through mostly unscathed. I think the fact that it's, you know, bigger, it'll be the biggest budget ever, although it's only, last budget was about $5.4 billion, this is $5.6. The fact that it's a little bigger might lead some fiscal conservatives to say, you know, why is it bigger? Aren't we supposed to be restraining government? I think, you know, the Medicaid is certainly an issue that might come up, but I think generally the legislature, you know, has enough votes to keep going with the private option. But that's the one area I think might come up, but I don't see any big fights other than that.
You talk about an ever-growing budget, the last budget being $5.4 billion. One of Governor Hutchinson's primary opponents financially is Senator King up in northern Arkansas in Green Forest. He keeps bringing up the fact that we have increased Medicaid spending and that's just going to continue growing our budget, particularly if the federal government starts to pull back their help with it. Do you see any merit to him raising those points? Is he right? Are our budgets just going to continue to grow every year? Or are we going to find a way, legislators rather, going to find a way to get that under control?
Yeah, I think it is hard to, you know, restrain budget growth. I think one thing that a number of states have done is write into law or to their budgeting practice specific limits on how much government can grow. And so I think states have had, you know, some success with that. These are called tax and expenditure limits. Colorado has one of the most famous ones. And those things generally do limit government spending, and it kind of ties everyone's hands to say, okay, we're going to limit government growth to, say, the rate of population growth plus inflation. And so then there's, you know, there'll be a political fight over, you know, what gets to grow. I think things like that can work. I think, though, you know, the Medicaid expansion in Arkansas has, I mean, there are certainly, on the right, there are some that have been fighting it the whole way. I think in general, though, Arkansans have seemed to have been in favor of it. So I think that, but, you know, if that part's growing, maybe we have to look at other things that we should be restraining if that's the part that's going to be growing.
Governor Hutchinson, when explaining his new budget, talked about, among other things, rising wages in our state. Now, in the last couple of years, as I'm sure you're aware, Arkansas voters have approved a minimum wage hike to our current $8.50. Do you think that raise played a large part in the state's economy and these growing rate wages that the government was talking about when proposing his budget?
I tend to think that probably didn't. I mean, whatever the merits or demerits of that minimum wage increase, I think that if we look at, say, so this first kicked in 2015. If we look at wage growth for low-income Arkansans at the 10th percentile wage growth, since 2014, we've been right at the national average. So it's not like our increasing minimum wage has boosted that. In fact, if you look at median wage growth in Arkansas, it's been below the national average the past couple of years. So, but also it's just such a small number of people, and for those people, you know, minimum wage increase is an important part, but such a small part of the overall wage distribution that it's really not going to affect that average very much.
And why don't we close with this? The governor and several legislators have said our economy here in Arkansas is doing pretty good. I even read a Bloomberg article a couple weeks back that talked positively about our state's growth rate. In your opinion, does our growth look sustainable for quite a while, or are we going to hit a plateau anytime soon, or maybe even a recession like you mentioned earlier here in the episode?
Yeah, I think to tie it in, I think what was your first question, I think that, you know, there's nothing unsustainable about our growth rate. It's just that, you know, economies do go through business cycles. Business cycle is not dead. Sometimes people say that we're in a new economy. The business cycle will rear its head again, and we'll have a downturn. And it would be unlikely if we'd go another 2 years without a recession. It's just a question of, you know, how deep is it going to be, and how is it going to affect both, you know, people's income as well as government finance. And those are the kind of things I think we need to keep an eye out for as we're talking about, you know, increases in government spending or cuts in taxes. We need to, you know, take account of there's a recession right around the corner, and to think about how that might, you know, tie into that.
And that's all the time we have for today. Remember, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Just search for Inside Arkansas Politics. We'll be back with a new episode next week. Professor, thanks again for being available today.
Yep, thanks for asking me on, Kurt. Have a good day.
You too.